All right, buckle up, everybody. We're diving deep today.
Deep, deep.
Into Exodus, chapter 7 and 8, with Dr. John Oswalt as our guide.
A fantastic guide, really.
And we're talking plagues, but, you know.
Not just, like, the kids' version.
Oh, not just, look, frogs. Right. We're going deeper. We're asking why.
Why plagues?
Why plagues? What do they tell us about God?
Right.
What's the connection to, you know, the Egyptian gods?
All those supposedly powerful beings.
These guys who are supposedly running the show.
Exactly. Yeah. They hit it right on the head there. The plagues weren't just about, like, special effects.
Right.
Or even just freeing the Israelites. You know, it's revealing a much bigger reality.
Yes.
Dr. Oswalt, he argues that God was essentially challenging, like, the very foundation of Egyptian theology.
Okay, so unpack that a little bit for me.
Okay, sure.
What did the Egyptians believe? And how did the plagues disrupt that?
So the Egyptians, they had this very intricate system of gods, right?
Yeah.
Each representing, like, different aspects of life, the cosmos.
Right.
And they believed these gods were in control, you know, maintaining order, ensuring their prosperity.
Right.
But then these plagues come along.
Mm-hmm.
And they were a direct challenge to that whole worldview.
So it's like God was saying, hey, you think these guys are running the show? Watch this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Hold my beer.
Right.
It starts right off the bat, you know, with the Nile turning to blood.
Yes. Yes.
Now, remember, the Nile, this wasn't just a river to the Egyptians.
No.
It was like the lifeblood of their entire civilization.
Mm-hmm.
Worshipped as a god itself.
Right. Hapiti.
Happy. The god of fertility, abundance.
Yeah, they relied on it for everything. Agriculture, transportation, even their drinking water. I mean, to them, the Nile was life.
Literally life itself.
Yeah.
And then, boom, it's transformed into something that brings death and disease.
Yeah.
Dr. Oswalt points out, this wasn't just some, like, random act of chaos.
Yeah.
It was a targeted strike at the heart of their belief system.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The god they thought gave them life now brought death.
Right.
Talk about a reality check.
Wow. Makes a lot of sense. It's like God was demonstrating his power over what they held most sacred.
Exactly.
But what about those Egyptian magicians?
Ah, yeah.
They were able to replicate some of the plagues, right?
They were.
How does that fit into this whole power struggle?
That's where it gets really interesting.
Right.
The fact that they could initially, you know, mimic the plagues,
mm-hmm.
It actually strengthens God's point.
Okay.
Dr. Oswalt argues, God allowed this to happen for a reason.
Okay.
It wasn't about Moses and Aaron having superior magic tricks.
Right.
It was about demonstrating the difference between human power and divine power.
So God was basically setting up a demonstration like, okay, you think this is impressive.
Right.
Let me show you what real power looks like.
Precisely. Hold my staff.
Right, right.
And remember, even the magicians themselves recognized this.
Right.
When they couldn't replicate that plague of gnats,
mm-hmm.
They exclaimed, this is the finger of God.
Right.
They knew they were dealing with something way beyond their control.
Wow. Even those who were trying to oppose God had to acknowledge his power. But this whole concept of God hardening Pharaoh's heart, that's always been a tricky one for me. It almost seems like God was rigging the game, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
How does Dr. Oswalt address that?
It's a question that has, like, puzzled theologians for centuries.
Right.
Dr. Oswalt really digs into the original Hebrew text.
Okay.
And explains that the idea of hardening, it isn't about God removing Pharaoh's free will.
Okay.
Instead, it's more about God allowing Pharaoh's existing stubbornness and pride to play out.
Okay.
He argues that Pharaoh, through a lifetime of choices, had already hardened his own heart to a point where he was incapable of genuine repentance.
So it's more like God was letting Pharaoh be himself. And sadly, those choices led him further and further away from God.
Exactly. And Dr. Oswalt even connects this to our own lives.
Right.
He says that our choices, even those seemingly small ones,
mm-hmm.
They shape us.
Yeah.
They influence our ability to respond to God.
Right.
The more we cling to control and self-reliance, the harder it becomes to surrender to God's will.
Okay. I can see how that connects to Pharaoh. He was so used to being in charge, to having absolute power, that the idea of bowing before another authority was just unthinkable.
Right. And think about it. How often do we do the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
We build up these walls of pride and independence.
Yeah.
And then we wonder why we feel so distant from God.
Yeah.
But, you know, Dr. Oswalt reminds us, God isn't interested in forcing our obedience.
Right.
He desires a genuine relationship with us.
Yeah.
One that's based on trust and love.
Which brings us back to the plagues. You mentioned they were targeted attacks on the Egyptian gods.
Right.
Can you give us some specific examples?
Absolutely. Take, for instance, the plague of frogs.
Okay.
You know how the Egyptians worshipped frogs?
Yeah.
For their ability to live in two worlds, water and land, symbolizing eternal life.
Right.
They even had Hecate, the frog goddess of fertility and childbirth.
Oh, yeah. She was a pretty big deal.
Huge deal. Well, this plague turns this revered symbol totally on its head.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, these creatures associated with life and rebirth,
mm-hmm.
they become a source of disgust, death, and chaos.
Oh, yeah.
They're everywhere, infesting their homes, food, even their beds.
Yeah, it's like what you thought brought you life
right.
now brings you death.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about a subversion.
Okay, so the plagues aren't just these random punishments. They're strategically dismantling the Egyptian worldview piece by piece. What's another example?
Well, the plague of insects is a really fascinating one.
Okay.
The Egyptians revered certain insects, you know, like the scarab beetle.
Right.
Which represented Khepri, the god of creation and rebirth.
Uh-huh.
They believed these creatures had the power to transform death into life.
Mm.
But then God sends this plague of gnats, lice, flies, creatures that are associated with filth, disease, and decay.
So it's like God was saying, you think these bugs bring life. Let me show you what they really represent.
Exactly. It's like this complete subversion of their beliefs.
Yeah.
Dr. Oswald argues that each plague systematically dismantles the power and authority of these so-called gods, exposing them for what they truly are. You know,
right.
Powerless idols.
Yeah.
It's like God's giving them a crash course in reality.
Yeah.
Showing them that true power, true life comes from him alone.
But Pharaoh still wasn't getting it, was he?
Nope.
He kept trying to bargain with God, offering only partial obedience.
Right. You're right.
Yeah.
Pharaoh's stubbornness, it's almost comical at times.
Yeah.
It's like he's trying to negotiate with the very force that controls the universe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He keeps saying things like, okay, you can sacrifice, but only within my boundaries.
Right.
It reminds me of
how we try to compartmentalize our lives with God. Like, okay, God, you can have this part, but this other area. Hands off. That's mine.
Exactly. It's like we're trying to strike deals with the Almighty. But, you know, Dr. Oswald points out that's not how a genuine relationship works. He uses this really powerful analogy about his own marriage.
Okay.
He says, imagine if when he proposed to his wife, Karen, instead of saying yes, she had responded, no, but I'll cook you gourmet meals for the rest of your life. I'll do your laundry and I'll give you $1 million.
Wow. Okay. I think I see where this is going.
He goes on to say that while those things would have been nice, they weren't what he truly desired. He wanted her. Her heart, her love, her whole self. And in the same way, God doesn't just want our actions or sacrifices. He wants us.
That analogy really hits home. It's so easy to get caught up in trying to please God with our good deeds or religious practices. But what he truly desires is a heart fully surrendered to him.
You got it. And Dr. Oswald emphasizes that this idea of surrender, it isn't just some Old Testament concept.
Yeah.
He connects it to the book of Hebrews,
hmm.
which warns us, you know, not to harden our hearts like the Israelites did in the wilderness.
Right.
It's a call to respond to God's grace with open hearts, not with resistance or fear.
So we see this theme of surrender kind of weaving its way through this whole story of the Exodus.
It is.
It's about letting go of our own limited understanding and trusting in God's greater plan. But how does that apply to us today? I mean, we're not facing literal plagues of frogs and locusts.
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Oswald addresses that directly. He suggests that while the form of the plagues might have been specific to ancient Egypt, the underlying message is timeless.
Right.
He asks us to consider what plagues might be present in our own lives.
Hmm.
You know, those challenges or disruptions that are meant to shake us out of our complacency and draw us closer to God.
So we need to be paying attention to those things that are shaking up our comfortable little worlds.
Yeah.
The things that are forcing us to confront our own stubbornness and self-reliance.
Exactly.
It might not be pleasant. But it could be God trying to get our attention.
Exactly. Those difficult experiences, those moments of crisis or heartbreak, they can be opportunities for us to reevaluate our priorities and surrender to God's will.
It's like what we were talking about earlier with the Nile turning to blood.
Right.
It was a devastating event, but it was also kind of a wake-up call.
Right.
It forced the Egyptians to confront the limitations of their own gods.
Yes.
And acknowledge a power greater than themselves.
And that's a powerful lesson for us today.
Yeah.
We often cling to our own idols, you know, our possessions, our achievements, our plans for the future.
Right.
And we think we have everything under control.
Right.
But then life throws us a curveball.
Yeah.
And suddenly we're forced to realize that we're not as in control as we thought we were.
It's in those moments of vulnerability when our carefully constructed worlds come crashing down that we're most open to God's grace and power. It's like those times when we hit rock bottom and finally cry out for help.
You're right. It's often in our weakness that God's strength is most clearly revealed. And that's the beauty of the Exodus story. It's not just about God's mighty acts of deliverance. It's about his relentless pursuit of a relationship with us, even when we're stubborn and resistant.
It's a reminder that no matter how far we stray, no matter how many times we try to bargain or negotiate, God never gives up on us.
Yeah.
He keeps pursuing us, even through those difficult experiences, those plagues that are meant to draw us back to him.
And that's why surrender is so crucial.
Right.
It's not about giving up or admitting defeat. It's about acknowledging that God's plan is ultimately better than our own.
Yeah.
It's about trusting in his wisdom and love, even when we don't understand.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into these first four plagues, what are some key takeaways for our listeners? What do we want them to remember?
Well, first and foremost, I think it's important to remember that the plagues were not just random acts of punishment. They were part of God's plan to reveal his power and authority and to free his people from slavery.
And they were also a powerful demonstration of God's willingness to challenge false beliefs and expose the emptiness of idols.
Right. And I think the most important takeaway is this theme of surrender. God desires a genuine relationship with us, not just our outward obedience.
Yeah.
He wants our hearts, our trust, our whole selves. And that requires us to let go of our own control and surrender to his will.
So as we go about our day, let's be mindful of those plagues in our own lives, those challenges and disruptions that might be God's way of getting our attention and drawing us closer to him.
And let's ask ourselves, what are we clinging to that we need to surrender? Where do we need to let go of our own plans and trust in God's greater purpose? Remember, true freedom and fulfillment are found not in control, but in surrender.
It's funny, you know, we often think of surrender as this passive, powerless thing.
Right.
But Dr. Oswald kind of flips that on its head.
Yeah, he does.
He argues that true surrender is actually an act of incredible strength and courage.
Yeah, that's such an important point because it goes against our natural instincts. You know?
Right.
We're wired to, like, fight for control.
Right.
Protect ourselves.
Yeah.
Hold on to what we think is ours.
Right.
But surrendering to God means letting go of all that.
Yeah.
Trusting that he knows better than we do.
Right.
Even when it's scary or doesn't make sense.
It's like jumping off a cliff and trusting there's a net to catch you, even though you can't see it.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of faith.
Yeah, it really does.
Right.
And that's where the real transformation happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we surrender, we're not just giving something up.
Right.
We're opening ourselves up to something much greater.
Yeah.
To God's love, his guidance, his purpose for our lives.
Thinking back to those plagues, it's clear that Pharaoh missed that opportunity.
He did.
He was so focused on maintaining his control, his power, that he couldn't see the bigger picture. He couldn't see that surrendering to God was actually the path to true freedom.
And that's the tragedy of the whole situation. He held on to his power so tightly that he ended up losing everything. Dr. Oswald uses this to illustrate a powerful truth, you know, that our attempts to control our lives, they will ultimately backfire. It's only when we surrender to God that we find true freedom, peace, and purpose.
It's like that old saying, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans.
Right.
We think we're in the driver's seat, but ultimately, he's the one holding the map.
Exactly. And that's not meant to be a scary or oppressive thought, you know.
Right.
It's actually incredibly liberating because it means we don't have to carry the weight of the world on our shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
We can release the burden of control and trust in God's loving guidance.
Dr. Oswald leaves us with this really thought-provoking question. He asks, what plagues might God be using in our lives today to get our attention? Now, obviously, we're not talking about literal frogs and locusts.
Right.
But yeah. Those challenges, those disruptions, those moments that shake us to our core and force us to confront our deepest fears and insecurities.
Those are the times when we need to pause and ask ourselves, what is God trying to teach me through this experience?
Mm-hmm.
What do I need to surrender?
It might be a job loss, a health crisis, a broken relationship, anything that forces us to step outside of our comfort zones and acknowledge our need for God.
And often, those are the very experiences that lead to the most profound growth and transformation. Mm. They strip away our illusions of self-sufficiency and reveal our deep need for God's grace and guidance.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into the plagues, let's remember that this ancient story is still incredibly relevant today.
It is.
It's a reminder that God is actively at work in our lives, even when we don't see it or understand it.
Right.
He's using even the most difficult experiences to draw us closer to him, to reveal his power and love, and to guide us towards true freedom and purpose.
And it's a call to surrender, to let go of our need for control, to trust in God's plan, even when it doesn't make sense to us. Because it's in that surrender that we discover the true meaning of life, the fullness of joy, and the depth of love that God has for each and every one of us.
So, dear listener, as you go about your day, we encourage you to reflect on these questions. What plagues might be present in your own life? What are you holding on to that you need to surrender to God? And how can you open yourself more fully to his love and guidance?
Remember, the story of the Exodus isn't just about God's deliverance of the Israelites from slavery. It's about his relentless pursuit of a relationship with each one of us. And it's a journey that begins with surrender.